WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Exhaustion seems to be a growing problem in contemporary life. For some people, fatigue is so extreme they can no longer function. Medical researchers are trying to understand the underlying causes of the most extreme and long-lasting forms of fatigue. One of those researchers is my guest, Dr. Benjamin Nadelson. He directs one of two federally funded chronic fatigue research centers. It's based in New Jersey. He's written a new book called Facing and Fighting Fatigue. I asked him if doctors are seeing more patients complaining of fatigue.
I think that the problem of fatigue has always been there, but doctors really didn't pay attention to it. What's happened in medicine over the past decades is that when I trained in the 60s, we really were oriented more to calamity-type problems. Someone who had horrible heart problems, someone who was bleeding, difficulty breathing, etc. And what's happened in the years since I was a medical student is we've really caught up with the calamities, and now medicine can pay attention to the chronic problems, the problems that are sort of smoldering and bothering people.
How common a complaint is debilitating fatigue?
It's actually remarkably common. It's probably one of the most common complaints that a person reports to his or her doctor. Somewhere in the neighborhood of some 20% of people have complaints about severe fatigue. Now, debilitating fatigue, obviously, the worse the complaint, the lower the number of folks that have it. And the longer it lasts, the lower the number.
Is there any quantifiable test, blood tests you could do to evaluate if somebody has CFS?
Well, I would have to say that the answer is no. There are some tests which are in the research mode which look very suggestive. But right now, the doctor makes that diagnosis based on the patient's report of severe, often debilitating fatigue lasting more than 6 months and accompanied by a host of symptoms that we usually associate with the flu or with infectious mononucleosis, the feeling of weakness, swollen glands, fever, sore throat, headache, muscle ache, joint ache, and difficulty thinking, etc. So it is very much a clinical disease entity, and yet we can, because a number of physicians at the international level sat down and came up with a case definition of the ailment, we can decide whether a patient has it or not. And if the individual has it, then we can do what we do in medicine, which is we try to prognosticate about the patient's status and we try to come up with a treatment profile.
What kind of help can you give somebody at this point who has chronic fatigue syndrome?
Well, one of the things we are doing in our center, first of all, are experimental drug trials. So that is always a very important thing for patients. The neat thing about an experimental drug trial is that if a drug works, it helps you understand an ailment where you're not sure of its cause. So, for instance, there's a drug trial just coming down the line now of an immunological product called Ampligen. If Ampligen is proven to work, that will then support the idea that chronic fatigue syndrome is an immunologically based disease. But in the here and now, when a patient comes into my private doctor's office and I don't have any experimental drugs, what do I do? Well, what we do then is we use our medical pharmacopoeia to help patients cope with the major problems that they have. And the major problems that a patient with CFS has is severe fatigue, severe muscle and joint ache, and difficulty with thinking and concentration. Those are the big three. And there are medicines that the doctor can use to help reduce those symptoms.
Well, what do you prescribe? Do you prescribe coffee?
Well, sometimes, if it doesn't make people jittery, mm-hmm. Stimulants are reasonable. sometimes, obviously, if there's, by the way, if there's any underlying depression, depression is an illness magnifier. And so we always want to get that out of the picture. No matter what illness someone has, if he or she is also depressed, that's a major problem. But there are medicines that relieve muscle aches. There are indeed stimulants. There are medicines that improve ability to focus. So again, there's this whole pharmacopoeia, but that's the least effective limb. One of the problems with chronic fatigue syndrome that makes a problem for the patient is the inactivity produced by the ailment. So one of the things we try to do therapeutically for patients is help them turn around this inactivity and make them more active.
Like what, like walking?
Well, sometimes walking, sometimes just doing things that you haven't done. For instance, if you have a dog and you're just too exhausted to walk the dog, I say walk the dog. Or if you have something to mail and the post box is at the end of the corner, go there. So sometimes it's not even structured. It's just get up and don't lie, sit up, do more, even about the house, and yes, go out of the house more often.
What's the typical advice you give people who are suffering from chronic fatigue about napping?
Well, again, if they feel better, I tend to let the patient, I try to work out sort of a modus vivendi with the patient. Some CFS patients tell me they cannot get through the day without an afternoon nap or two, and that really is the thing that makes them so disabled, their inability to have a normal life and, of course, the severe fatigue and pain related. So I don't have much of a problem with that. But if it's an individual who I think has fatigue based on a sleep disorder that is based on insomnia, poor sleep hygiene, then that's a total no-no.
Do you find that people actually get over chronic fatigue syndrome, or do you consider it more as a kind of lifelong condition you're stuck with?
Well, the tendency is to improvement. The tendency is to improvement. We've studied only the most severely ill patients, and about half improve and about half stay the same over a four-year period. Now, that, of course, is the most severe. The best prognostic indicator is if the individual can keep working. When I see patients who've got it, but and they tell me, Dr. Nadelson, the only thing I do in my life is work, and then I come home and crash, the fact that their illness is not so severe that it prevents them from working is a good prognostic indicator that they will beat the illness.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Benjamin Nadelson. He's the author of the new book, Facing and Fighting Fatigue. He's a neurologist who directs the New Jersey Chronic Fatigue Syndrome Center. He's also medical director of the Gulf War Research Center at the Veterans Administration Medical Center in New Jersey. Are we in a phase now where doctors are seeing fatigue more as a perhaps biological problem than a psychological problem?
Well, again, we don't know what the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome is, and certainly fatigue can have many medical causes and can be biological. You know from your own experience that after a day of vigorous sports, you're exhausted. That's certainly on a biological basis. I think you'd have to say it has biological causes, psychological causes, and in some people, the two interact. It's not that the brain and the mind are separate. In some people, the two interact and again magnify it.
Now, what about Lyme disease? And that's a disease that's spread by a certain kind of tick. And certainly in the Northeast, there's a lot of deer that carry these ticks.
Right.
What's the connection of Lyme disease with the kind of fatigue that you've been studying?
Well, Lyme disease is an example, as is infectious mononucleosis, of infectious diseases that clearly have an infectious cause, in which some of the patients simply do not get better, something like 5 or 10%. And when those patients are evaluated 6 to 8 months later, it appears that many of those few patients, that is, who don't get better, have chronic fatigue syndrome. So those examples, mono and Lyme, are examples of post-infectious fatigue and are one of the things that make doctors think that there may be some underlying infectious cause to at least some of the patients with CFS. But patients with Lyme who have CFS don't have the Lyme bacteria evident. So something has happened. Has it been that their immune system is different? Are they psychologically different from people who have recovered? These are all research questions that are really under investigation now.
So are you saying, too, that CFS can have many different causes? It's not like there's one virus that causes CFS. It could be an immunological problem. It could be something associated with depression. It could be caused by a virus.
That's the whole concept of syndrome. A syndrome is a collection of signs and symptoms that people complain of. And we know that with other examples, for instance, a sore throat, that's just a syndrome. And there are many different things which can produce a sore throat, bacteria, viruses, etc. And so what we do, therefore, is we need to try to find the causes of these various syndromes. And that's the approach we've taken with CFS, and it seems to be paying off.
Dr. Benjamin Nadelson, he directs the New Jersey Chronic Fatigue Syndrome Center. His new book is called Facing and Fighting Fatigue.